Greetings, 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 greetings. Hello, my name is Katrina Turnbow, and I am your host for the Design Series podcast presented by Michigan Minority Supplier Diversity Council. We are so excited today to bring you this podcast because it is our inaugural first podcast to be able to talk to you about small business, what really happens behind the scenes, and also have the conversations that typically you don't get to hear. So often, you know, we have our conferences and we have our formal meetings, but business is so much more. You know, actually your business family, oftentimes you're spending more time with them than you are your actual family in many instances. Bonds are built and people are really working together to bring everything for everyone to have a greater cause and make sure our economy is stronger. So MMSDC decided to launch a wonderful podcast to be able to bring all of that great information to you behind the scenes and explore all the stories and other cool stuff that we want you to know about. So as we kick off our inaugural podcast, guess who we have in the house today? Our one and only CEO, Michelle Soray Robinson. So let's give her applause. Yay! Just wanted to welcome her, number one, to our podcast as we get ready to talk to you today about what happened last year, what's happening this year, talk a little bit about Michelle and her life here at MMSDC, Detroit, Atlanta, and so many other things that possibly you've never heard because we're generally talking serious business, but today we get to know a little bit more about her and a lot more about MMSDC and what's in the future for that. So, Michelle, welcome.
Thank you. This is my very first podcast. I'm so excited.
And we are excited that you are here and we are kicking everything off, especially during Black History Month. So, we want to open up, number one, just by asking you, tell us a little bit about who you are. Who is Michelle? We know you from the president, CEO standpoint, but tell us a little bit more about you.
Okay. You know, I think probably the best way to describe me is my brother some years ago bought me a plaque, and it says, "I'm not bossy, I just have better ideas." So I have been a boss most of my life.
Okay.
And it has been like the honor of my career, I have to say, just to get to be at MMSDC. It is one of 23 affiliates, as you know, Katrina, but this is an affiliate council that has a board of directors that's committed. We've got exciting MBEs who are also accessible, but then we have corporations that really put their dollars and their resources behind the words that they put and the commitment that they give. So it's really, for me, it's been an honor and a blessing to get to do this work. So that's who I am. Plus, I'm a wife, I'm a daughter, I'm a sister, I'm all of those things. But that's what we Black girl magic women do.
Yes, Black girl magic happens all over the place. So let me ask you, what was, when you first got here, number one, what year did you actually come to MMSDC?
January 2015.
So what was your, as is, you know, what was your introduction? Because number one, it was January, and you are coming from, if everyone, who doesn't know, you were coming from down south, and I'm going to say the weather wasn't quite as extreme. So even in this cold state now, what was one of the biggest shocks when you first, you know, came to Michigan?
The weather. I had beautiful, fashionable coats that looked wonderful in Atlanta and kept me warm, and here, they did nothing. So it was truly the weather. And within 2 or 3 weeks after my arrival, we had just a record snowfall. And in fact, I had to shut the office down. It was that Super Bowl weekend in 2015 where we got pounded. They said, you know, it'll be 8 to 10 inches, and it was 14 to 15 or something. So it certainly has been the weather. But I must say, this year, I was at the office one night, didn't realize it was snowing, got outside, and it was a virtual blizzard. I thought, I've got this. I know what to do. I'm now in my third Michigan winter, and I'm no longer panicked anytime the snow begins to fall. I just say, okay, I've got this. So no, it makes it worth it. But I also have to say, and Michiganders don't appreciate this, but this is the most beautiful spring and summer. It might be short,
That's true.
I've never lived anywhere that had such a beautiful spring and summer.
I can honestly say, from living down south myself, I remember coming back home, and I had not seen fall in the seasons. And I remember coming back looking at the trees like, oh my God, I don't remember them being that beautiful. Mm-hmm. So it is the little things right along with the cold that makes us, you know, so special, along with all of our wonderful business owners and, you know, those who participate with the council.
Best in the nation.
That we are. So we just wanted to open up with a little bit of who you are and tell you a little bit about MMSDC. So it's a couple things that we have to do. Of course, number one is always pay the bills. So what we're going to do is provide you a little bit of information. We're going to play a couple commercials, definitely a song, and then we are going to come back, get into some questions about MMSDC, what happened last year, what's happening this year, and talk a little bit more about what you would like to see for Detroit and some of its economic growth.
I'd love that.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Access to committed corporations, a network of ambitious and like-minded entrepreneurs, and the opportunity to grow your business exponentially. This is the Michigan Minority Supplier Development Council. I'm Michelle Suri Robinson, President and CEO of the Michigan Minority Supplier Development Council. The MMSDC is amongst the largest of the regional affiliate councils in the network, serving more than 1,000 minority business enterprises and 300 corporate members. At our core, the MMSDC does four things. We certify minority-owned businesses and ensure that these businesses are truly minority-owned, operated, and controlled. We develop MBEs to take on new opportunities, and we help to develop corporate supplier diversity programs across the state of Michigan. We connect minority entrepreneurs with corporate buyers, advocates, and executives, as well as with each other, to maximize the opportunities available to our constituent base. And we also advocate on behalf of the interests of minority entrepreneurs on a local, state, and national level. The MMSDC is always developing new ways to push minority business enterprises to the next level.
And welcome back to the Michigan Minority Supply Diversity Council Design Series podcast. I'm your host, Katrina Turnbow, and we are talking today on our wonderful first podcast with the one and only president of Michigan Minority Supply Diversity Council, Michelle Sore Robinson. Welcome back.
Thank you.
So we went ahead and talked a little bit about MMSDC. Of course, you getting acclimated here in Michigan and getting your feet grounded here. But let's talk about really what's happening at MMSDC. So last year was a big year.
It's a very big
year. Huge year because MMSDC turned 40, and you were able to usher that in not only with new ideas, where actually the design series blog or podcast now actually originated from some of your ideas last year. And we are so glad to be able to kick it off this year. But we want to know, what were some of your favorite moments from last year? Because it's been hectic. But what were they?
It has been hectic, but you know, it's hard to pinpoint them. So I'll start at different quarters of the year. Probably the first half of the year, I was so excited about the design series because we have so many very talented. And I think sometimes when you're living in the community, you don't even fully appreciate that we have multi-billion dollar businesses, minority businesses right here in Michigan that are still extremely accessible. We have new startup MBEs. We have very innovative MBEs. And to kick off the design series gave us the opportunity to showcase some of that talent on stage at our biggest forum of the year. In addition to that, we have corporate members, and many of them are leading in their industries. They're leading and really making the decisions about things like autonomous vehicles and what's to happen next and what will it be like to live in a smart city. We need to tap into that talent instead of simply always looking for professional speakers to come in. We've got that talent right here. And so I'd say design series would be up at the top. And when we kicked off the year, certainly a highlight was hosting our national conference and breaking every single record. I mean, we showed up, we showed who Michigan or what Michigan was all about, and it was a team effort. Everything from the number of sponsors that we had, a record number, everything from, I'm calling them the Detroit Four now because Toyota has moved here and they are a staunch supporter of the council and its mission, but the four of them came alongside each other and co-chaired that conference to have fierce competitors who aren't going to share much of anything come together for the common cause of growing minority businesses was excellent. And then I have to say, my personal, just my heart highlight is having the team walk out on stage in true true almost astronaut style walkout with the smoke and the screens lifting, kabuki screens and all of that at our December 8th, our big 40th anniversary gala, where we ushered in a new board chairman and just celebrating those 40 years, having past presidents of this council that were there, past board chairs and members in the audience. I believe about 900 of them, 1,000 of them there to celebrate with us. That's probably my personal favorite. Plus, the team looked great. We had glam squads.
Yes, you all did look fabulous.
They looked fabulous. So,
as expected in Michigan, because we always are fabulous. You know, actually, that was one of my favorites. Two things that I really enjoyed. Definitely to see everyone come out on stage. And you know, sometimes you're working in the moment and you get to know people and you're like, it's your everyday. And these are the people that you, like I said, you start off with them, you work with them, you sometimes spend more time with your work family than you do your personal family. And when I took a step back, because I've been involved with MMSDCs for 6 years now, I was actually amazed when I started looking at who were actual board members, and of course working in the media and supporting you know, what was going on. I get a chance to step back and you hear, you know, like 900 people or 1,000 people, and oftentimes that's said that that's how many people attended. No, that was really how many people were in the room. And I remember trying to take pictures and trying to get certain shots, and I was like, oh my God, like I need a full panoramic view to be able to see everyone. And It was a moment where you could pause and look in awe. And I think that other people truly appreciated and probably felt the same way, because they probably had not seen maybe some of the board members. You know, people are moving around, you know, and then they come in and out of town. So to bring everyone together was a big deal. And another point that actually turned into a moment recently. So on Instagram, you know, black buying power, you know, corporations, all of this just unrest, what's going on, presidency, all that type of good stuff. And there was a picture that circulated that said it had Jay-Z and some other people in it. And what the caption said was, not one person in this picture, of course they were entertainment, not one person in this picture owns a manufacturing business, owns a dealership. It noted all of these businesses that they are saying the African American buying power didn't own. And in that moment, I paused as I read it, and I actually wanted to reconstruct the picture through MMSDC, because I said, wait a minute. Nope.
Yes, we do.
And to your point of it being $1 billion, I was like, oh no, I know. Yeah, I can actually get $1 billion of revenue or value of six people in this picture, and it would be worth $1 billion. And that was significant, and what most people don't necessarily see. And it made me say, wow, we're able to convey. A lot of people don't realize the value and the diversity in the pictures that we have and what people are doing. So that literally like happened
That's
2 weeks
project,
ago.
Yeah. Dan.
Check.
I like it. That's a project.
Dan's over here just to let
Executive
you know.
Executive order.
Yes.
We need to fix that.
Dan and Darnell are in the podcast studio with us, because of course there are going to be wonderful ideas that are going to blossom from the design series that are just going to come alive. But yeah, that was one. So yeah, I would have to say one of mine also was that event, because guess what? We know how to put on some wonderful events. And
That's
just
true.
In case you don't know, it's coming up, you know, yearly we have these events, of course, for the organization. We work really hard, but at MMSDC we also have a good time, and I must say the after party was the bomb. I was like, oh my God. Okay, this is great, and it's a good time of everyone being able to cut loose. You also don't necessarily get a chance to see business owners really take a breath, because they're living and breathing that. So I always love to see everybody for a change, just breathing, and you know, maybe bringing just that natural personal one moment where they're like, it's cool, we can celebrate our moment.
Absolutely. We are multifaceted, that is for certain. And I have to say, you know, when I even think about the event that the gala event that you're talking about, in 2015 that event was 500 plus people. So for us to double that almost in a couple of years is pretty phenomenal. And I do have to give kudos to the staff for that, because we have challenged the status quo, not only when it comes to the service offerings we provide and the way that we work, but we've challenged ourselves to always one-up ourselves on an event. Nobody does it better. I mean, nobody does it better. When I think about our procurement conference coming up May 8th through the 10th this year at Cobo Center in downtown Detroit, you cannot match it. It is the largest regional event of its kind. Anybody who is serious and has a commitment to minority supplier development will be present and accounted for there. So you have a trade show floor of a few hundred booths that include not only our corporate members, but you also have minority business enterprises. And for those that are new and certified with our organization, we have a special spot for you that lets you be literally in the center of the trade show floor that's only available for first-time attendees.
And if you have never attended, that's actually a big deal because you are actually surrounded. I think every year I'm always in awe of the, of course, the automotive trade show, you know, booths or whatnot. They put so much design and detail in them. I did not realize what goes into a trade show, of course, until I started working one. And ironically, I've been able to really actually grow that. And I was like, wow, I would have never thought that this is something that you had to plan out in such at such a level. So it's so many things you learn, I think, along the way, especially being a young new business owner, that I actually absolutely love myself. So let's switch over a little bit because, again, you said 2015 and you got everything shaking and moving and changing and challenging the status quo. But since you've been here, there have been great things that you've also, you know, kept the progress moving from a national perspective. So tell us a little bit about you now being the chairperson for the National Minority Diversity Council's President's Committee, because that's a big deal to have that available at the same time being here in Michigan.
Right. You know, I was honored that my peers elected me. So you have, there are no people in the room who aren't type A personalities. So think about that. You have 23 presidents and president and CEOs from around the country. Those 23 people all run councils like I do. So it's an honor to have been nominated and selected to represent them. So I sit on the executive committee for the NMSDC, which is now chaired by Joe Hendricks at Ford Motor Company, who has done a phenomenal job of coming in and transforming our national organization. But it gives me the ability to be the voice for large councils like ours, but even some of our smaller councils from around the country. We just met last week in Phoenix, and we pulled together for the National Minority Supplier Development Council, we pulled together 23 of the board chairs, so all of the board chairs from each council, all of the presidents from each council, and all of the MBEIC, which are the representatives. Leon Richardson is our representative in Michigan for MBEs, but we pulled all of his counterparts together as well from around the country, really to begin to look at the strategy for the national organization. So exciting things happening there. We're in the process of selecting a new national president.
Okay.
And creating a strategy really to take us to the next level, because what we've done for the last 45 years as a national organization has been phenomenal and made us who we are, but there is still so much more to go and the marketplace is changing. So we have to change our approach, and it's an exciting time to be there and to be a part of it.
What do you believe is one of the biggest changes that you've seen, mentioning that in terms of the marketplace and how business is being done?
I think companies are doing far more with fewer suppliers. I think companies are looking for innovation all the time. I mean, in every industry, when you think about what blockchain technology is doing, when you think about the autonomous vehicle technology, when you think about all of those things and how it will literally impact the way that we live, who even knew what a podcast was 10 years ago?
Right.
So, you know, these things are rapidly moving, and we have to be not just in step with them, but we need to be ahead of them. And that's what I think is changing. Before, business was about building some relationships, establishing what was needed, and proving that you could provide a quality product at a decent price. Now, it's about getting out ahead of what's happening and making sure minority businesses are included in that.
So I had the opportunity, of course, to cover, you know, via across the nation with with you, CES, as you mentioned, innovation or whatnot, I was so excited. I was excited for you. I was like, oh my God. So for those of you who do not know, CES is the Consumer Electronics Show. Michelle actually had the opportunity to go and experience just what that world looks like. And CES basically debuts all of the new gadgets and what's happening in the future of technology. It started off in technology, but now it encompasses every industry. It's, you know, technology touches everything now. So mentioning, you know, the last part about us being a step ahead and making sure that we are being proactive in terms of working and growing business. Like, what did you see there that you felt like, you know what, Michigan or just small businesses, this is where you need to really get a hold on, or maybe even some of the products, or, you know, what it really impressed you?
I have to tell you, I had not attended Consumer Electronics Show since I was a buyer. So that's been decades ago. I'm not going to date myself, but it's been a minute ago. To arrive there and see how it has grown, it was 200,000 people descended upon Las Vegas. It's so large, if you can picture this, there were 38 different hotels and venues where you could pick up your registration badge. That's how big it is. To just get your arms around that.
That's so crazy.
Right.
So it's massive. And we just see one. I'm like, I'm just thinking about MMPC.
Right. It's massive. I mean, 200,000 people. There are many cities across the country that don't have that population size. But they were from all over the world. And I think the thing that dawned on me is how many of our MBEs don't even have an idea that this is happening. So when I think of the technology, I think there's brilliance in our community. And when we look at African, Asian, Hispanic, and Native Americans, simply in order to survive, we have learned, and we talk about it all the time, being able to make something out of nothing. To be able to be in this environment and see the technology, I believe ideas get generated. So the goal is to look at shows like CES, and in the future, we're going to take a delegation. So that's why the NMSDC, we were there together as the leadership team for NMSDC, really looking at that and saying, how do we do a better job of galvanizing our people, exposing them to the possibilities, because we believe some of these ideas are already kind of germinating in our community. And we need to do more to actually cultivate them and help people bring them to fruition. Because if you wait too long, I think the way we live and drive cars and everything else, that's changing in 3 to 5 years. So if you haven't already gotten up to be a part of that wave, if you're still trying to invest and buy yourself a parking lot thinking people are going to be parking cars, they're not going to be as many cars. Mm-hmm. So it's really astonishing when you start to look at where money will be made. But I truly believe that we have the power within our community, especially in Michigan, because we have money. We have MBEs, minority business enterprises, that have the financing that's available because so much has been done here. And I think a lot of credit is given to Ford, FCA, and GM because they created many of those mega MBEs by having true commitment, creating programs to help MBEs grow so that they could hire thousands of people. And who would have thought 25, 30 years ago that you would ever have a minority business owner that would own a billion-dollar business, but that's not unheard of in Michigan, and it's my goal to get a couple of more while we're working here.
That's true. Okay, well, we've had a great kind of reflection on what's happened in the past, you know, what's coming up in the future, so we're going to take a moment now, take a break, pay a couple of bills. That's always my favorite thing to say. I used to watch TV and always
pay the
think,
bills.
We're going to pay the bills now, but pay a couple of bills and definitely let you hear a little bit more about MMSDC and the future with not only our current MBEs, but also our new MBEs and the whole, you know, drive for millennials and so many other business owners to come in and understand the value. Then we'll talk a little bit more about Black History Month and a couple more things, and we'll wrap it up. So we'll be back in a couple of minutes with the Design Series MMSDC podcast presented by Michigan Minority Supplier Diversity Council. So we'll be back in a moment.
access to committed corporations, a network of ambitious and like-minded entrepreneurs, and the opportunity to grow your business exponentially. This is the Michigan Minority Supplier Development Council. I'm Michelle Suri Robinson, President and CEO of the Michigan Minority Supplier Development Council. The MMSDC is amongst the largest of the regional affiliate councils in the network, serving more than 1,000 minority business enterprises and 300 corporate members. At our core, the MMSDC does four things. We certify minority-owned businesses and ensure that these businesses are truly minority-owned, operated, and controlled. We develop MBEs to take on new opportunities, and we help to develop corporate supplier diversity programs across the state of Michigan. We connect minority entrepreneurs with corporate buyers, advocates, and executives, as well as with each other, to maximize the opportunities available to our constituent base. And we also advocate on behalf of the interests of minority entrepreneurs on a local, state, and national level. The MMSDC is always developing new ways to push minority business enterprises to the next level.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Thank you for joining us on the Design Series podcast presented by Michigan Minority Supplier Development Council. And we have our wonderful guest and also CEO of MMSDC. If you don't know, we typically do not say the full name and you just get used to saying MMSDC hashtag. So you can generally find anything around social media with that hashtag. And, you know, we add a couple things to it. But so glad that you are here with us today, Michelle. So we talked a little bit about what happened last year, highlights. So let's talk about this year. What are you looking forward to in 2018 as we go into our 41st year?
I have to say the biggest thing I'm looking forward to is new programs. So we have invested a lot over the last couple of years in bringing in very talented people. So I could go on and on about the esteemed backgrounds of not only former business owners that we have on the team now, but people with amazing education and certifications, everything. You've got legal backgrounds on the team. You've got really strong finance backgrounds with CPAs, attorneys, but you also have very pure strategic planning, business consulting. We've got an engineer on the team. So all of these things really coming together to help us create better programming, not only for minority business owners, but also for the corporate members that create the programs and the structures that help them to get opportunities. So I would say that's it. We're also in the third year of our strategic plan. My charge when they recruited me here in January, my charge was to come in and figure out what it would take to move the council to the next, and it wasn't level, but stratosphere. Because it
hashtag stratosphere.
It had been a very strong, I like that, stratosphere 18. But it had been a very strong council. It was very well-regarded council, but they knew what they had been doing would not help them move to the next level. So that's why we made so many changes, had passionate people on the staff, very appreciative of everything that they did over the years to help the council. But we knew we had to make some hard decisions and bring in talent that could take us to the next level. So we are revisiting the strategic plan this year, installing a new board actually next week.
Oh, wow, okay.
So in fact, Judge Denise Langford Morris is going to administer the oath. And we will have these board members come in, and they all participate in strategic planning implementation committees.
Okay.
So that's exciting because those are the things, continuing to revisit that plan, because I have to tell you what we're talking about today is a bit different than what we were talking about in January or February 2015. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. That in that short a period of time, so much additional change has come in the marketplace, and we've got to be ready for that and nimble and quick. So exciting times.
Now, as you look forward to the MBEs and those who are already members, one of the things that I think we oftentimes don't talk about is that area of those who are not a member.
Right.
But you've had such a great vision of being able to incorporate the entire Michigan business community. That's probably been one of the funner times that I've had, is just being able to go to West Michigan, mm-hmm. and start realizing, you know, oh my goodness, you know, we tend to be in these silos of Southeastern Michigan, we're here and everybody has to come here. But you've been so strong, you know, and focused on making sure our One Michigan program is being launched, mm-hmm. and making sure, again, millennial business owners or young business owners that are not certified come on and just see what's going on at right. MMSDC. So what's kind of your vision for that? Those who are just learning about us or, you know, really want to figure it out, where would you say it's a great place for them to start and some of your vision for that?
Oh, I think that's a great question, Katrina. I would say One MMSDC was created to broaden our reach. Mm-hmm. And we certainly look at Central and West Michigan. We look at various industries, so looking at furniture manufacturing, healthcare, IT, looking at all of these various industries. But in addition to that, it's looking at communities that we sometimes, so those demographics that we might miss. In the Native American community, once NABA was dissolved several years ago, we really lost the voice in the Native American community. So you'll see us doing a bit more to draw that community in. And it's the exact same with millennials. There's a special place in my heart for millennials, in particular because I think some of the startup work that can be done and some of the innovation that can be done, bringing in technology in a manner that that we've just not seen before. Someone put on Facebook the other day this note, and I had to laugh, and it said, you know, kids today at the age of 10 have, they're on their second iPhone. When I was 10, I was watching glue dry, and I thought, that's what I was doing, Elmer's glue, how will it dry on my hand, can I peel it off? And these kids today are in their 10th, you know, app working on this. So at the end of the day, I think millennials are where it is. But I also think we have a lot of our large, you know, $50 million plus minority business enterprises who are now taking the time to bring their children or bringing in other millennials to take over their business. And we as a council have a huge opportunity to be able to impact them, to help them create their own network together so that they're supportive of each other. Right before the podcast, I was at Bridgewater today. Ron Hall Jr., who has succeeded his father at Bridgewater, his father, Ron Hall Sr., started that organization almost 20 years ago. They are the number three black-owned business in the country, and they're based here in Michigan. $2.2 billion a year. But one of the things Ron and I talked about was the brilliance of his father and his comrades that he met at Western Michigan University. So Dennis Archer Sr., Dr. Bill Picard, and Ron Hall Sr. were all there together. And it has been quite something to watch. And that might be something to document as well, Dan. See all these ideas come out. I like the podcast. I get more assignments for Dan.
The design series.
Don't you like that, Dan? But no, the assignment is they are a village. So what I have watched them do is be able to help each other. They had many dreams as college kids at Western Michigan. I don't think any of them could have imagined that they'd be running billion-dollar businesses. Mm-hmm. But they had many dreams, and they decided they would do it together. So even today, many, many years later, I'm not going to date them and say how many years later, but many years later, they are still supporting each other's businesses, and now some of them are supporting their children in businesses and helping each other's children, being mentors and coaches. And that is pretty phenomenal. It's exciting to see in minority communities, and it's something that we should emulate. So I think we should tell that story.
Actually, that is so huge. I remember experiencing with that with the with Stephanie Burnley and the Burnleys and understanding
baby, you know, Burnley.
Yeah.
She's hey, gonna Steph. Be so happy. Look Stephanie.
Hey Steph.
Okay, that was our personal name, sorry.
Yes. But being able to see that story oftentimes outside of, again, the business of, you know, how do you grow a community, is those interpersonal stories. And like right now, being in Black History Month right now, that's a Black history fact. You know, to be right. able to hear the story of college grads, college friends, now they all are running multi-million-dollar, billion-dollar companies, and mayor, you know, just the story of people growing together and still being able to do business together that right. helps our community grow. And those are those backstories that I believe MMSDC has done a very just phenomenal job of making sure that they're told. And even though, you know, they're a little bit silent in terms of, I'm starting to realize that we take the greatness for granted.
Right.
And sometimes that's where I'm at, because I hear certain conversations and they're like, oh my gosh, you know, I can't wait to, you know, my business gets to a million. Am I at a million right now? That's no. Am I aspiring there? Yes. But I have people that I can look towards, and it's obtainable. It's not even.
It is totally.
It's not
attainable.
Even a second thought. I'm like, well, I'm just going to ask so and so, what did they do?
Right.
And so many people don't understand the value of MMSDC in that position of having access to the conversation and the wisdom to be able to take you to the next level and move your business. And they want to tell you. They want to help.
They
you.
They want to help you, and that's why I would say, you know, going back to your question, for a millennial, if you are trying to figure it out, first of all, I think it's hard to be what you haven't seen.
Mm.
And in many of our communities, we just take for granted that I can do X. It is invaluable to be around someone who had the dream to take, let's talk about Leon Richardson, had a dream to take a company that had 2 or 3 employees and create one that had 300 employees, and was able to do that, and now has almost a $200 million operation. You need to be around that type of influence. And that's why I say, for me, if there's nothing that you do all year with us, it is the Michigan Minority Procurement Conference, May 8th through the 10th at Cobo Center. On May 9th in particular is a professional development day that is open to anyone.
Open to anyone.
So you can go to our website at minoritysupplier.org and get information on that conference, because that's where I believe vision is cast.
Mm-hmm.
I took this job. I'm a person of faith. I don't push it on anybody, but it's who I am, and I can't compartmentalize it or remove it. But the reason that I do what I do is that I believe the equity that can come when everyone is allowed to participate and be involved only makes our communities better, only makes our world better, only makes people's lives better. So this is very personal for me. And when I look at the opportunity to take a procurement conference like that and showcase, this year we're doing something that we kind of embarked on not knowing what we were doing before, which is telling the stories of MBEs so that they can talk about what they did to make it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we take it for granted sometimes in Michigan because we have so many successful MBEs that everyone knows how to make it happen. But sometimes you just need to hear that you're not the only person that questioned yourself, whether you were capable, whether you had enough money, whether you were smart enough, this person has this. And quite frankly, I don't know that there is a successful business owner out there who hasn't felt that, but you got to push past the fear and get it done.
Mm. Wonderful, wonderful, wise words. And one other thing that is happening in 2018 is definitely a big switch. The first non-OEM in terms of a board chair.
Yes.
Okay. So we have DTE.
DTE. Tony Tomczak, who is the chief procurement officer at DTE, will be sworn in next week. It is our first time having a non-automotive. And I have to say, part of the whole one MMSDC, broadening our horizons, looking at our spectrum, we are very fortunate that the automotive OEMs have come alongside us and said, we want to participate. We want to be involved. And at the chief procurement officer level, we will chair the board. So Hao Taitang at Ford Motor Company, who was the group vice president there at Ford, made a tremendous impact on our organization as an engineer by education. Hao's very, very structured and helped us as we were tightening the ranks and putting more standards in place as a council. He was very instrumental in helping us make sure we were always focused on the mission, but also putting in the structure that would make us sustainable. Tony's coming in as our new board chair, and I'm excited because it not only pulls us into a different industry arena and brings focus to all the non-automotives out there who've kind of always been concerned that they weren't getting as much attention, but at the end of the day, what Tony is doing is, instead of saying, I want attention, he's saying, how can I serve? And putting DTE in that mix. And I think sometimes It's easy to say what you don't like, but when you'd like to see something improved, to actually get involved yourself and put the resources of your organization behind it, it's exciting. And he's going to announce some of the things next week, so I won't steal his thunder, but I have to tell you some of the exciting things that DTE's CEO is doing in the Detroit community. We are now going to be able to come alongside them as a council to bring along minority business enterprises and other corporations to help with those efforts, to help make Detroit better, to help make sure the neighborhoods are not left behind. Mm-hmm. We're all excited about all the good things happening in Detroit, but I want to make sure they happen for black and brown kids too. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure they happen for black and brown business owners as well. So we're working with the other ethnic chambers to ensure that that happens. And continuing, I will tell you, to make sure elected officials stop electing people that don't pay any attention to our communities. And when you do elect them, you need to be in their face saying, what are you doing about X? My community barbershop can't get da-da-da-da-da. And I think that's the way we're going to turn this around. So the council is there to continue to advocate, to push. But I will have to say that, there's so much that can be done to improve not only in Detroit, but the surrounding areas throughout the state of Michigan, that it's exciting to be here.
That is wonderful. See, we are always breaking news, new things coming through MMSDC. So that is the vibe. This is what you'll be able to see, the up and coming behind the scenes, the little bit of tidbits that you're looking for. How did you know? Tune in, subscribe to the podcast. So we are going to go to one more song, and then we're going to come back and wrap up on our first podcast. I cannot say it.
The inaugural.
The inaugural podcast, yes, of Michigan Minority Supplier Diversity. Excuse me.
Development.
Okay,
Council.
So this is the one time where you're having a podcast moment where you're going to get it right. And it is the Michigan Minority Supplier Development Council. I don't know why. What's going on today?
It's all right.
But we'll be right back with after this song, Pay Some Bills Again, and then we'll talk a little bit more with Michelle.
We certify minority-owned businesses and ensure that these businesses are truly minority-owned, operated, and controlled. We develop MBEs to take on new opportunities, and we help to develop corporate supplier diversity programs across the state of Michigan. We connect minority entrepreneurs with corporate buyers, advocates, and executives, as well as with each other, to maximize the opportunities available to our constituent base. And we also advocate on behalf of the interests of minority entrepreneurs on a local, state, and national level. The MMSDC is always developing new ways to push minority business enterprises to the next level.
Welcome back to the Michigan Minority Development Council Design Series podcast. We are really, really excited. Again, the inaugural podcast, really getting behind the scenes, being able to talk to everyone at MMSDC, some of the MBEs, corporates, and we opened up today with Michelle giving us a little bit of her behind the scenes conversation and story. So we want to ask one last question about you, Michelle, because a lot of people don't know this, and it definitely ties back full circle. Where are you from?
Oklahoma. Born and raised.
And a lot of people associated, of course, you know, you in Atlanta and such a great career. A lot of people don't know. Actually, Michelle is an attorney.
Yes, they don't know that.
I've had a couple people say that, like, huh?
Really?
I'm like, no, she's an attorney. I'm like, no, she's not for any games. And it's real. Okay, contracts and all. She has that covered. So tell us just a little bit about your experience, sure, of course, coming from Oklahoma, and how you feel that shaped you and, you know, kind of that beginning and where you're at now.
Appreciate that. It's been 30 years since I lived there, but it did shape me. I was actually born in Kansas, raised in Oklahoma. Both of my parents are from Muskogee, Oklahoma.
Muskogee.
Yes, I'm
Where
proud
is
to be
Muskogee?
An Okie from Muskogee.
Where's Muskogee?
It is about 45 minutes outside of Tulsa.
Oh, okay.
So the reason that I think, you know, nothing happens by chance. I shared earlier that I'm a person of faith. And for me, I see this job bringing so much full circle for me, because part of my appreciation and love for community and the power of economic development in the community came from Black Wall Street.
Okay.
And I was fascinated as a kid to learn what had happened in Tulsa when Black-owned businesses came together and said, we can buy from each other, support each other, and you literally had, they were the centrifugal force in that community, and they ran that community. Unfortunately, until the Tulsa race riots, happened because a black man was accused of looking at a white woman inappropriately. And I'll tell you, anybody on here that has not read up on that, just go and Google it. Tulsa race mm-hmm. riots, Black Wall Street. You will be fascinated. In fact, if you like Charlie Wilson like I do, you like Gap Band, Charlie Wilson is from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Gap Band got its name from the streets Greenwood, Archer, and Pine, which were the center part of Black Wall Street. So that was that band's way of paying homage to so many very strong, truly amazing soldiers that came many years before them. But when I look at this job and the ability to take what I learned as a little girl growing up in Oklahoma about the power of communities coming together and spending their dollars within, and how that literally transformed the community. You no longer had to worry about who's going to sponsor the soccer team. Mm-hmm. Okay, is that house over there, is it vacant, or can we move Sister Such and Such's nephew in there because he's, you know, he's just started a new job, and then that way we'll make sure that house doesn't become a place that has crime, but a place that people take pride in. So just being smart about the way, and smart and methodical mm-hmm. about the way.
Intentional. Mm-hmm.
Very intentional about the way that we spend our dollars and keeping them within the community. So we can do that in so many communities throughout the state of Michigan. We can do that with minority dollars. And that's really, when I think about the privilege of doing this work, and for me, like Esther, feeling like I'm called for such a time as this, it's to bring all of that full circle. Most people do think I'm from Atlanta because I spent about 20 years there as an attorney, actually, and then working in the corporate arena. And I have to say, Atlanta was the black mecca. You know, they say they're the city too busy to hate, but there's some hate. but it's not uncommon to be in a neighborhood of beautiful homes, gated community, and it's a predominantly black neighborhood mm-hmm. Because people were very intentional. When I think about Maynard Jackson in Atlanta and what he did, if you ever fly through Atlanta, yes, the airport is a beast, but every person of color should take pride, because that airport has the best and really the foundational program that created opportunities for minority businesses to be able to have, whether it was foods or different vendor retail establishments in airports. Maynard Jackson was the first person that put a quota. Maynard Jackson was the former mayor of Atlanta who put the quota in that said, we will not build this airport in this predominantly black community without having a percentage of the vendors that get to benefit from that be from that community. And that was one of the first times that had ever been done, and certainly the first time it had been done of that scale. So that airport was built with that percentage, and that really helped when we think about supplier diversity today. Mm-hmm. This isn't about set-asides. These were qualified businesses that never could get their foot in the door. But he is in large part responsible for that. And if you eat at Edie's Ice Cream, Popeye's, TGI Fridays through the Atlanta airport, it is all minority owned. If you shop at the little $10 store, that's all minority owned. So those are the things that we need to do a better job of telling those stories. And I'm thinking of another idea here, Dan, but we'll be back on another podcast to roll that out. So thank you for this opportunity. I've had a great time.
Yes, we are so excited that you actually had time in your schedule today. You were actually in town. That was one of the things as we were scheduling, looking, my goodness, is Michelle even going to be here for the opening podcast? So thank you for coming on and making sure that our story at the beginning is being told properly, what to expect in 2018. We want to let you know, number one, you can go to minoritysupplier.org. To number one, find out all about the organization, the council, meetings, events. We have a robust website where you're able to click through very easily and sign up. And you know what? If you have further questions, please feel free to give us a call. You can find us on the about page. Everyone is listed, and you even have pictures. You can actually see who actually works at the council, which is always a great thing in this day of automation and robocalls, which drives us all crazy. But that's not what happens at the council. So please, number one, find us at minoritysupplier.org. In addition to that, we are listed on all social media channels with Michigan Minority Supplier Development Council. I don't know what's going on today. We're going to have a great blooper reel. today for our
first. We're going to get cue cards.
Right. But make sure you find us all over social media, and you can use the hashtag MMSDC. And we look forward to following up with more great conversations with our council members, with our MBEs, with our corporates. And guess what? Maybe some business owners that we just want you to know about because they are part of this community. So thank you so much for joining us on our inaugural podcast, The Design Series. And we look forward to joining you again. Join us weekly, Tuesdays from 1:30 to 2:30, sometimes live. Today, we're actually having a great opportunity to do a pre-recording. So we are signing off today, but our regular time will be 1:30 to 2:30 Tuesday. So have a great afternoon. Thank you, Michelle.
Thank
and
you.
We can't wait to have you back.
Congratulations to Katrina, Dan, and Darnell.
Yay! And we're all clapping hands.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great evening or afternoon, everyone, whenever you get a chance to listen. And we are signing off.